Fanboys and Friends podcast presents.
Tried to do everything myself.
Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
Just reduced Kanan's targets by half. Tell our fearless leader he should be able to handle one lone TIE fighter on his own. What was that?
In a time of darkness, when fear ruled the galaxy, heroes will rise, destinies will collide.
Who is that kid?
And a rebellion will ignite.
Get ready.
Now!
A round table discussion about Star Wars Rebels.
If all you do is fight for your own life, then your life is worth nothing.
Get back up there and fix the shield.
Wait, are you fighting stormtroopers?
What makes you say that?
Dude, I'm that kid.
You kidding? This is a blast.
Now, join the rebellion as it is time for Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
Hi, gang, and with that, welcome to Red 5 Transmissions Radio, our second proper episode, A Spark in Podcasting, a mixtape of Star Wars goodness. I am your host, David Sinden, and with me, as always, your friend and mine, straight out of Florida, or, you know, people could confuse it as Dagobah, they've done that before. Matthew Clifton. Matt, how you doing?
Yeah, real good, David. Really good. I definitely could pass this Dagobah with the humidity and the rain we've been getting right now.
Well, all you need is a log to sit on, and you could be just like Yoda.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, see, that was good, giving Tom Kane a run for his money.
Oh, no.
No. We joke about that. Tom, we love you. You know, if they can't get Frank Oz for a Yoda movie, we throw our hat in the cane ring.
Definitely.
All right. Well, Matt, we got Star Wars Rebels. It's finally here.
Yes.
Spark of Rebellion, written by Simon Kinberg. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to say this. Just Simon Kinberg, probably the best thing to happen to Star Wars writing ever.
Mm.
You know, aside from Stephen Melching, Henry Gilroy, and Christian Taylor, of course.
Yes.
And, you know, Katie Lucas is awesome.
Yep.
But Simon Kinberg, what a blast of fresh air for Star Wars writing.
Yes.
And you know what? I knew this was going to turn out great, because when I saw X-Men Days of Future Past and what Kinberg did for that script.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, oh, bring on Rebels. I don't care no more. All right, so what did you initially think of this?
Oh, what did I think of Spark of Rebellion?
Yeah.
just tons of fun, just a breath of fresh air, absolutely.
Well, it was like those old mixtapes of you know, classic 70s and 80s tunes just
yes.
blasting in your ear.
Oh, just a ton of things. So just the mix of characters from Hera to Sabine to Zeb, and then the setting and all, and then the music.
Oh, but
what about Kevin Kiedner's score, huh?
Oh, I will say this. Now, one of the things I disagreed with Clone Wars was Kevin Kiedner showing so much restraint in not using John Williams' themes. He used
yes.
it sparingly throughout Clone Wars, so I'll
yes.
grant him that. But it wasn't quite as heavy as I would have preferred.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. this was... You've heard of Django Unchained? This was Kiedner Unchained.
And he's really good at just at nailing like genre scores. The only I don't really know what else he's done before, but he does the score for a Western show on AMC called Hell on Wheels, and it's just the way he gets that into that genre and all, and it's great.
I guess I'll have to add that to my checkout list.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I've seen ads, but I rarely watch AMC just for, you know, Walking Dead and Comic Book Men.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the characters. Okay, first of all, let's talk about what people were early on describing as the most controversial character. And yes, I use that word sparingly because, you know, I don't buy into controversial one bit.
Mm.
But Sabine Wren. I don't know what you thought, Matt, but I thought Sabine kicked butt.
Oh, she was great. She was great. But just, you want more, you know? you get a great feeling for Kanan. You get a great feeling for Hera, and a great feeling for Zed. But I didn't feel like the spotlight was on Sabine enough.
No, and you know what? I really dug how she used the paint as the explosive.
Yes, yeah, that was great.
You know, and let me just say, because I never really understood why people were so upset. They were like, "Oh, Pink Mandalorian, boo!"
Yeah.
I think, okay, and follow me on this one, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I think what went wrong there, or what people's perception was, is they were still miffed and upset that, you know, the Clone Wars turned the Mandos into basically Vulcans of Star Trek.
Yeah, well.
I mean, when you look at that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I see Sabine as a great turnaround back to the, you know, pardon the expression, but the hardcore badasses the Mandos actually are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we're starting to take that turn back to, you know, how we knew Mandos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Boba Fett versus the Karen Travis.
Okay. In the Clone Commando novels, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to open up that Travis thing,
yeah,
still.
Yeah, that's not a...
Let's not open up that can of worms. That's all Legends now anyway, so...
Yep.
All right, so, Sabine, what did you make of Ezra, who seems to be our sort of Ahsoka POV of this series?
Oh, as like Sabine being like the next Ahsoka? Is that what you're saying? Or
No. What did you make of Ezra? Because Ezra, I think, is the point of view character for this series.
Okay. Yeah. It's being like the kind of like the main like protagonist of the series now, but just. He's got a lot of potential. The going back and seeing like you have him as like the orphan and all that, but then he's force sensitive, and we're definitely gonna get to see his maturing as he gets trained by Kanan and all. So. I'm interested to see where that goes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And did you recognize the outfit Ezra has on? He looks like the older brother in those Ewok movies.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I looked at that and I'm like, where have I seen that outfit before? And then I went back to those Ewok movies. I'm like, oh, that's it.
I'll have to look back at those.
All right, let's talk about Zeb.
Yes.
now, You know how early on people were saying, okay, Rebels is like Firefly, which was inspired by Star Wars and this mm-hmm. and that? Well, first of all, I think that's a very thin argument, because I didn't get much of a Firefly at all. I got more Star Wars than anything else. And secondly, the only Firefly thing I will agree with is Zeb is straight up Jane.
Yeah.
Zeb is straight up Jane, to the point where all he needs is the beanie on his head.
The beanie and the... What was the gun's name?
I forget. Still, Zeb is straight up Jane.
Call his bow rifle like Victoria or Veronica or something. Yeah.
Well, don't call it Veronica Mars. That's something entirely different. But no, Zeb is straight up Jane. Come on, Facebook, Twitter. I want that trending now.
Oh, that'd make a great mashup.
Yeah, it would, actually. I like Zeb a little better, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's funnier, you know?
And yes.
I will say this. I love the joke. I mean, because Zeb is based on old Ralph McQuarrie Wookiee designs, which I think is just brilliant.
Yes.
I love the joke of, hey, that's the not hair. A Wookiee.
Haven't you ever seen a rare hairless Wookiee?
I absolutely love that joke. So kudos to Dave and the crew for putting that in.
That was a good one.
I mean, this whole show, I mean, I'm going to say all of it because this gave a taste of basically what to expect from the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole series, you might as well turn your oxygen tank to Ralph McQuarrie level because that's what you're getting.
You know,
I mean, down to the animation. And let's talk about the animation.
Yeah.
And, you know, folks, a warning to you. You may or may not like this part, but I actually think a large part of the animation is better in Rebels, and here's why. All right. Okay, first of all, I have always said this about animated series. If the story was good, I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But what I will say this, the difference with Clone Wars versus Rebels is that, you know, Clone Wars, the animation, while groundbreaking and trend-setting, felt very GL animation, meaning he spent like an eccentric billionaire should. And you could tell every episode. And there's like, oh, there goes another billion. There goes another billion. There goes another billion. I mean, Matt, am I just sounding crazy?
Well, no. But yeah, as far as the animation goes, it's not going to be Clone Wars.
No, it's not.
It'll never be like that again. It's just a different technique. That's all. And it's just like you follow one artist, and one artist will be different than the next, and they'll have. Each one will have their own techniques, and that's all that this is. And, you know, I dig it. I really do.
Well, Matt, here's the thing. Look at it from this certain point of view. Gee, I wonder who said that. But look at it this way. George Lucas always set a bar, and it took everyone else either a long time or very little to meet it.
Yes.
And God, say what you will about him, and people have, God bless him, he did that.
Yeah, yep.
And that's what, to me, the impact of Clone Wars animation would be. It is a new bar for animation to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think, and it may have to do with budgets or this or that, or I'm not an expert there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think that animation at large you know, be it Disney or Pixar or anything else. But I just don't think animation at large will be there anytime soon. Now, could they get there? Sure. But it may be, you know, 20, 30 years before that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's the first episode, and it's like, if you watch Clone Wars and all that, from the first episode and as the seasons progress, the animators found new tricks and new techniques and all that, and you got to see the animation evolve. And it's no different here. We're definitely going to see that with Rebels.
Oh, absolutely no different here. I mean, let's keep in mind, some people didn't like the animation style when Clone Wars first showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, they say later on as the series went on, and then unfortunately it was canceled, and then we got the Netflix stuff. They were like, oh, no, I never said that. And I'm like, you liar. You lie.
All the articles calling Count Dooku a lawn gnome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like, way to rewrite your own history, guys. Come on. They should all walk around with tape recorders so they can go, oh, yeah, I said this here. But, you know, I can just feel the hate mail coming my way.
That's all good.
That's all right. I'm used to being hated on. It's called hanging out with Trekkies. No, Trekkies, come on. Come on, you know we love you. At this point, you know, between Wars and Trek, it's like the, Raj said in that Star Wars Big Bang episode. He's like, hey, we can say it. You can't.
As far as I'm concerned, there's no line anymore.
No, there's, I mean, not after JJ does two tracks and then hops over the fence.
That's
there's
right.
Really no line anymore.
That's right.
You know, it's like what Kevin Smith said on the Comic Book Men. We used to argue about which one was better, Wars and Trek. Now, they're exactly the same thing.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say exactly the same thing, but there's no line.
Let's just say Kevin Smith goes too far on most things. I mean, like not keeping this trap shut after episode 7 NDRA.
Oh, it's just a Millennium Falcon story, that's all. Just a Millennium
Falcon.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a great story, too.
But why? It's a great story, but, you know, explain to me then why, you know, he's getting calls saying, hey, dude, you got to stop that. Everyone wants to ride the Millennium Falcon now.
Because that story was so good.
Right? Well,
and now because that story was so good, everybody wants that feeling that he got, that he described. Everybody wants that thing, that magic.
Well, and that's why they want to see understand the Millennium Falcon. That, but you know what? There's another way to get that magic. It's called wait till December 18th, 2015.
That too.
And unlike the Millennium Falcon, just make sure the theater door is attached so it doesn't fall on your ankle.
Oh,
I just had to do that. That's going to be a little great sort of ankle gate pun. All right. Well, back to Rebels, okay?
Back to Rebels.
All right, let's talk about Kanan and Hera.
Okay. All right.
Now, beforehand, and granted, people accuse me of being crazy about this, and I'm like, well, I'm crazy anyway, so accuse me all you want. But I said, Because the character of Kanan is a surviving Jedi from Order 66, he was in hiding and all that, driven underground, you know, driven away from being a Jedi. Because of that, I said right from the get-go, this feels like a sequel series to Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I brought that to your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we see Kanan in play, and we also have this one element that elaborates that, they purposely give the holocron that has the Obi-Wan message,
yes,
warning all the Jedi away. And you can clearly tell Kanan's played that thing on a loop.
Yes, yes, right? So he's played it many, many, many times before.
He must have had that on his, like, space iPod or something.
Yeah.
But with all that now known,
mm-hmm,
what do you think, is Rebels pretty much a natural progression from Clone Wars to you?
Well, it's cool that you bring that up. Now, does it feel like a sequel series anymore? With just seeing Spark of Rebellion, I'll say no, it doesn't. It feels like it stands alone and all that. And that it's going to go its own path with these characters. Now, we're going to, like we've discussed in the last episode, we're going to see little threads and all that, like Bail Organa and C-3PO and all that, and I guess the next episode and all that. But as far as the sequel series, it feels like it has its own two legs now, in my opinion.
Well, let me elaborate a bit on that. By what I meant of sequel series is exactly, you got these little threads, right?
Mm-hmm.
That tie it to that sense of a sequel series, that feel. The other thing I can equate that to is, again, something that's on, you know, the Disney Channel, ironically, the Girl Meets World series.
Oh.
It's got those little threads that tie it to that old series.
That's a great comparison, actually.
Yeah, but it's got those little threads that don't tie it in a very elaborate fashion.
Yes.
But they tie it very subtly. And that's what I meant with Rebels tying the Clone Wars. It's got these little sort of nuggets here and there.
Yes, yes.
You know, like these tasty morsels that we're picking up along the way going, tasty,
yes,
tasty.
It was another thing, too, is like, did you check out the clip that they just showed where Sabine and Hera, they're on... they go inside a cave and there's these critters running around, and if you look in the wreckage, you'll see an old
Republic shuttle.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's another example I saw, and it's good you brought that clip up, because I also want to say the animation looks like it's progressing, because the expressions look different in that clip versus, mm-hmm, what we just saw in Spark of Rebellion.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing the animation progress.
Yes.
And, you know, when Sabine and Hera ran outside and the critter tried to follow and was pulled back because the sun was burning or whatever, you know what other vibe I got from that?
Pitch black?
Yes. Yes.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that
a pitch so. Black vibe.
Yep.
I just hope we don't get an animated Vin Diesel helping them out on whatever planet they are.
Oh, they mostly come out at night.
Yes.
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. So that was interesting.
Yes.
But now, okay, let's talk about, well, the mother of the group, Hera.
Hera. Oh, how awesome was Hera?
Hera was amazingly awesome.
Just her lines, and Vanessa Marshall. I can't give her enough praise. I was live tweeting with the episode yesterday, and I just couldn't stop gushing. Could not stop gushing. She was live tweeting with all of us last night, and so was Freddie Prinze Jr., so that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool. You know,
yeah.
When the stars get as involved as we are.
Yep, immensely.
You know, because it would be awkward if you had on a Star Wars project people that are like, yeah, I'm just here for my money.
Yeah.
It's like awkward. Then it would belong to a certain category, the Simon frickin' Pig. You know, when he played Dengar with that towel on his head.
Simon Pegg.
Yeah, I know. You know, I know he's JJ's friend, but I'm still angry about that.
I know. I just gotta let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Is that meant to be a Disney pun?
Yeah, it could have been. I tried to sneak that in there.
Yes, well, I'll sneak in another one with Star Wars Rebels Spark of Rebellion. It is a whole new world.
Kudos.
Oh, two yes, Disney touche. Puns in one show, you hear that? Two
touche.
Disney puns in one show. That's awesome.
Well, I'm Floridian, so, you know.
I thought the banter between Kanan and Hera was very Han and Leia.
Very, very. It just, like, when they're talking and she calls him love again, it might just be a thing she says, but you hear her say it to him as well in the Ghost in the Machine clip.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives her that, like you said, that mother vibe, but you also get to feeling that kind of tension, that Han and Leia kind of tension. It's definitely there.
Well, I will say this. If there is something there, right, between
right.
Kanan and Hera,
mm-hmm.
I would not hold it against Kanan. I mean, one, green-skinned Twi'lek girls are a thing in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And besides, Hera's cool, and why not? Right?
Yes.
Why not a green skin girl? Just keep her away from Captain Kirk. Because we know how Captain Kirk gets around green women.
Green skin, yeah, well. But I will say, and it's very, very refreshing to see a female Twi'lek in Star Wars that isn't a slave or a dancer.
Yes, and rank her food within 5 minutes.
That too. But Vanessa Marshall, she just really brings it home and adds a ton of personality to this character. A ton.
Oh, absolutely. This cast is remarkable all the way across the board. From Vanessa Marshall to Freddie Prinze Jr. to
big surprise. But
to Tia Sirkar, to Taylor mm-hmm. Gray, to
yep.
Steve Blum. They're all fantastic.
Yes.
Even all the way down to Chopper, we got to give some love to Grump.
By any chance, do we know who does the voice or the sounds to Chopper?
I wouldn't be surprised if Dave Filoni pulls another Embo.
Definitely. Definitely. I definitely had that vibe.
Right. I mean, I'm not sure if that's come out officially.
I was wondering if that had been confirmed yet or not.
I will be sure that our crazy Wolfpack friends, Rebel Force Radio, find that out.
Definitely. They'll have to ask them next time.
You can't hide anything from Jimmy Mack. He's got that Chicago nose.
Yeah.
And they always sniff out news.
Yeah.
Much love, Jimmy Mac. Come on.
All the love
for Jimmy Mac. All right, well, let's talk about Chopper. How cool was Chopper?
It was, again, a lot of personality for a character that I was a little sketchy on. I didn't know if I'd love him or not, but I'm totally sold.
Well, when you put Gregory House's personality in a droid, I mean, all he needed with that little arm that came out of his dome, right? All he needed was that arm comes out and he pops a few pills as a Vicodin. And we'd be like, it's Dr. House!
It's definitely Dr. House the droid.
Yeah. Why is Dr. House on the ghost?
Give him a little cane.
Right. Yeah, well, you could have one of his arms be that. Really love that Chopper is, again, Ralph McQuarrie R2 design. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. That old Ralph McQuarrie R2 design.
See, I think every Star Wars oxygen tank now needs a Ralph McQuarrie level.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, just turn it up to Ralph and live nostalgia.
Yep.
Now, I want to discuss, I think Rebels is off to a great, wonderful start. It actually has me a lot more than Clone Wars initially had me, which is sad, I know, because I love Clone Wars to death.
Right? Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get into Clone Wars until about the time they brought Darth Maul back.
Really?
Yes, I know. I know. I feel like a bad fan admitting that. But
No. It's for some, it took a while for a lot of fans. And, you know, with it being on Netflix now, it's even winning new fans that are seeing it on Netflix and binging it.
Yes. Binging Star Wars long before Breaking Bad was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, sorry, Saul, but we've been doing it long before you.
Yeah.
But I will say this, though. Rebels, it just has it. It has that...
It's got a charm to it.
Yes. I mean, it's a mixtape. You put that mixtape in, and you just can't help but smile.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And if you're, and I will say this, if you're cynical at this point, if you're misleading, if you're this, if you're that, if you're on the fence, it's kind of like, stop eating your Wonder Bread and just watch some Star Wars Rebels.
Amen to that. Yeah, I love it.
But it's kind of like, and, you know, to go even further, because, you know, at Red 5 Transmissions Radio, that's what we do. But to go even further, this should be a sign that Episode 7, perfect. No apprehension whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, if the creative hands know that much, and you know they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know everybody's talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're all working on something.
Yes.
Which is a huge departure from what GL would do, which is just work on one or two things at once.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to, what, do we have a Star Wars movie going from here to 2020?
Say that again?
They have a Star Wars movie from, what, 2015 to about 2020?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
So, to quote Palpatine, the time has come. Execute Star Wars Operation Overload.
And we are ready.
We are hugely ready. And that can be equated to Star Wars Rebels.
Mm.
Now, before we go, I want to talk about Agent Kallus.
Yes.
Now, first of all, I loved him in the episode. He was not exactly overused, but not underused either. He was kind of the right streamlined amount.
Yeah.
But, you know, every time he's talking to one of the Imperial officers, I just have a feeling like he needs a cigar in his mouth.
Just those sideburns.
It's those sideburns, man.
Those burns are epic.
It's those chops. I mean, forget get to the choppa. I think they're talking about Talos's sideburns.
Well, you know what? This is the new... This will be all the rage for bad guys now. You know how it was the thin mustache? It's going to be those sideburns. Everyone's going to want those sideburns.
Wonderful,
now.
Wonderful. And we can, since they are neighbors now, we can really attribute Marvel for that. It's like,
Yeah. Gee,
thanks for starting something. You know, thanks for starting something. Mm-hmm. But notice how Wolverines are thin and calluses are kind of like his whole face.
Yes, just all the cheeks almost to the tip of the chin.
Yes, but come on, Filoni, can we at least have an episode where Callus calls a stormtrooper bub?
Give him a cigar, just one time. Just
I know it's Disney XD and whatever, but it's like give Callus a stogie.
get into your TIE fighter bub or mm-hmm. something, just something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. I don't care. I mean. Since we know the next episode of Rebels is having some homage to Star Tours.
Which
I think is really cool because finally Paul Reubens gets the justice he deserves.
Now, I did not read that article, but has it been confirmed that they're getting Paul Reubens back to do the voice of a Rex droid?
I'm not too sure if they're getting Paul Reubens back. You know, I'm gonna say what I said about this weird report going around of Robert Downey Jr. doing an Iron Man 4 if Mel Gibson agrees. And the same thing goes for here. Why would Lucasfilm and now Disney by proxy, of course, sully things by bringing a weird character like Paul Reubens in?
Well, he did do the original voice of Rex for the first Star Tours, right? So
no, I understand that, but you know what? You want a Rex voice? You get Dee Bradley Baker on the phone. You do not get Paul Reubens.
Good call. Good call.
See.
Good call.
Yeah. And Paul Reubens, after the allegations that happened with him a couple of years ago, I really think that, pardon the pun, this is a family show, but I think that has stained his career.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going into that.
I'm sweeping that under the rug. I'm not even getting into that.
I'm not either. I'm like kicking myself right now.
Yep. But getting back to Agent Callus.
All right.
When they showed, have you gotten the Spark of Rebellion DVD? That's Walmart exclusive yet, David?
Not quite yet. No.
Okay. Well, they've got the a look ahead trailer that was featured at San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on there, but it's slightly different.
How so?
It's got new footage on it that I've never seen before. Like, there's a part where it shows the ghost. The ghost's flying, and Ezra is doing the handstand thing and on one hand and two hands, and Kanan's there teaching him with his arms folded and says, do or do not, there is no try. And Ezra's like, that doesn't make any sense. if I do it, I have to try to do it. And Kanan's like, well, you know, that never made much sense to me either, but that's always what Master Yoda said. And there's that clip, and then it shows a little bit more of the fight between Agent Callus and Zeb, and you really get to see just how aggressive and how brutal that showdown is going to be between the two of them.
Oh, Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, well, with Zeb having the knowledge of that, Callus was kind of part and partial of responsible of nearly the wiping out of his people. So very much looking forward to that fight, because it looks like a bad one. It looks like a brutal one.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I've heard the word brutal go around with a few things, and I will just say, kids, show my left, my not. It's like, come on, you know, a trooper gets blown up in the first 5 seconds.
If you look at that, the part where she blows up the bike.
Yeah.
If you look, the trooper is not caught in that explosion. He is propelled from it, so you know, he's okay.
Now, wait, Matt, let's not turn this into a Han shot first, Greedo shot first argument.
You know, this is me justifying the violence.
Yeah, let me hang on to my violence, okay? Don't turn rebels into some kind of G.I. Joe no one ever dies thing.
If you look when the ghost blows the TIE fighters out of the sky, you can just see the co-pilot eject himself
from
the back of it.
Stop it! Stop it! Oh my god. You know what? I can just see Lucasfilm listening to this and Pablo going, that Matt Clifton, he's on something. I'd be the first one on the phone going, no, he's not!
They checked just in time.
Oh, stop it already.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
And as far as side characters go, I want more Visago.
Oh, yes, Visago. let's discuss Visago, shall we?
Yes, let's.
I thought he was okay, right? I didn't think he was, like, Hondo level okay.
No. He's not that level yet. We need more.
Dude, in terms of, you know, appearance, he's not Hondo level, because Hondo, for some reason, always had the reputation of dressing very Liberace. Visago dumbs down his wardrobe. And with that broken horn thing appearance, he looks like something that stumbled out of Narnia.
Well, it's a cool thing with the broken horn and all that, and on the other one he's got tally marks on his horn.
Yes, I did catch that. Yes.
take from that what you want.
I did catch that.
Yeah.
But you know, if you want to compare Hondo and Visago, let's be honest, Visago needs to up his wardrobe.
Yes.
Just a bit.
He is. Yeah. How about that if we get like a Visago Hondo team up?
That would
be awesome. I'm just throwing that out there.
See, it's like the series I now want to see. I would now want to see a spinoff with Wally, Chopper, and R2, and they open up a Veronica Mars investigation.
Good lord. That needs to be funded. Get on Kickstarter, and we'll get that crowdfunded. Yeah,
that needs to be funded. Can you imagine that would be a whole series that would have the internet blow up with rage, because no one would be able to understand them. But I'm like, it would be fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to mess around with people, Filoni, don't put subtitles.
Oh.
You know, I'm serious. You did a series like that, no subtitles. It would just drive people nuts.
Oh, this I can think
drive them nuts like Shatner trying to work his way in the next Star Trek.
That was a bone thrown, but, you know.
That's a bone thrown to a dog that's past his prime.
Yeah.
Should be treated like Old Yeller and Sean.
No, oh gosh. Yeah,
no. I kid. Come on, Trekkies, calm down. But, okay. So, the episode ends where we finally see Wookiee enslavement.
Yes, yes.
Now, I gotta talk about this because some people have discussed that oh, this is a weak point, this is blah, 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 blah. You know, Charlie Brown's teacher kind of negativity, right?
Okay.
And they've said that the Wookiees are the weakest design of Rebels.
The weakest design, huh?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, you know, Wookiees are hard to deal with. They get hair everywhere. They have outdoor habits, not indoor habits. And here's another thing. Why do they all have to look like Chewbacca?
Well, I'm going to get this name right. Wolf Waro, the main Wookiee that you see. He has a distinctive look.
Yeah.
But the others, not so much. Except for of course his son Kitwar.
Oh, Kitwar, how cool is the baby Wookiee?
And from what I hear, they dug out the old Lumpy track for his voice.
I know when he does that little little scream when he runs away from the trooper. That's the Lumpy voice. I'm like, yes, victory. I'm like Stewie Griffin at that moment. Victory is mine.
That needs to be a toy. That needs to be a plushie.
I know that needs. You know, the Disney store needs to hop on that. That needs to be like a pillow.
Yes, make it happen.
Make it happen. Come on. You know, we got you to do a Leia toy at your Disney store. Come on, do it.
Yeah, we definitely want more Kitwar.
Oh, yeah, definitely more Kitwar.
Bring him back.
Well, I want to see Kitwar and an older Gungi.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, can you imagine if those two teamed up?
Oh, man. Well, I would love, like, to see all those kids back, those Jedi kids.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, by any chance, did you see Brian Snook's concept drawings for
that? They were pretty awesome. I did. That guy is amazing.
Yes.
I'm just like, oh. Dude.
I totally, totally, totally want that.
All right. Well, the episode ends kind of very Empire Strikes Back like because we have Agent Kallus and he calls the Inquisitor.
The Inquisitor.
Voiced by the delicious, yes, I use the word delicious. It may sound man-crushish, but who cares?
A little squeal.
The delicious Jason Isaacs.
Yes.
Ah.
Lucius Malfoy himself.
Oh, dude. And you know, at that point, I literally, when he raised his head, right?
Yes.
And the credits came up, I literally screamed at the TV going, no!
Give us more!
I have to wait? No! But, you know, the 13th will be here before you know it. So, overall, I would say Star Wars Rebels Spark of Rebellion off to a bang-up start.
Yes. Just awesome.
Absolutely.
And real quick, can we talk about that absolutely stellar performance from Mr. James Arnold Taylor and the final Obi-Wan speech that he gives? How many people got goosebumps? How many people got teary-eyed at that moment? I know I did.
Dude, I had goosebumps giving birth to goosebumps.
When I first saw this episode, I just sat there and I took that moment in, and it was magical.
See, now that's another thing with my sequel series discussion. The James Arnold Taylor Obi-Wan bit, that's more than a thread. That's like a tightrope noose. And, you know, I'm sorry. So people are saying, oh, it's different. It's not a continuation of Clone Wars. I'm like, take that noose and put it around your neck and learn a thing or two. Actually, no, don't do that. That was metaphoric.
No, we do not
condone that here at Red 5.
No.
That was metaphoric, people. And don't be like Drax and say metaphors go over my head.
My reflexes are too quick. I would catch it.
Don't be like that. But no, I was in tears watching that. I mean, seriously. And that's what I mean by a sequel series. I mean, because that's basically the warning message in episode 3.
Yep. Yes.
Or at least we can take that as the warning message.
Yeah.
So that was just amazing. Absolutely amazing. It shudders even.
Yeah.
You know, it was the next closest thing to Shudders, like that video of the Millennium Falcon with the Batman mobile.
Yeah.
I hope Chewie hits the Falcon so much that that thing knocks off.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And Han picks it up and goes, what the heck is this? This is the wrong franchise, Furball. Now, we do have a bit of Rebels news to talk about. And our pals, Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack, broke this. An old face is back for season 2 of Rebels. And yes, season 2 was renewed a day before Spark of Rebellion even aired. And that alone should show you they have ridiculous confidence in this thing.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And no, it's not going to be treated like Tron Uprising. Yes, I know. I'm crying over that. I'm hurt by what happened to Tron Uprising.
Bring that up.
Hey, Matt, I'm hurt by that. Okay.
Oh, oof. That's still a sore subject.
I know that still stings. That's why we're not doing a Tron show.
It was like the new Batman Beyond. It was awesome.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Okay, all right.
That's another sore topic, but...
Yeah, moving on.
Greg Wiseman is leaving after season 1, and an old face is returning next season.
Yes.
Henry Gilroy.
Yes.
And we all remember Henry Gilroy, and if you don't, you probably were asleep for 8 years. But Henry Gilroy wrote some fantastic Clone Wars stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, Matt, I pose this question to you. With Henry back, how long do you think it is before we get a Bombad Zib?
You know, judging by what I've seen, probably not very long.
Not really. I will say this, though. We've discussed that. Okay, it's new characters, it's different this, different that.
Mm-hmm.
But with Henry Gilroy back, I don't see Clone Wars characters not showing up as an out-of-the-realm possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, Gilroy and Filoni basically were the reason we got the great Clone Wars characters we did.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I will set this bar then. Oh. Season 2, Gilroy. Season 3, Melching. Season 4, Christian Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Season 5, you get some kick butt episodes for Hera and Sabine written by Katie Lucas. Boom!
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lucasfilm, that is a bar.
Whew.
Now reach it.
I like it. I like it.
So, yeah. And you know what? I will say this. If they do bring Katie Lucas back and she comes back in, people, please It is called Twitter. You are not allowed to act like twits on Twitter.
Yeah.
You remember that whole bit, don't you?
Yes. As kind of the reason why I just never touched Twitter for as long as I did.
Well, I mean, that, you know, when I heard that, Daisy Ridley and John Boyega left Twitter, I'm like, this is the Katie Lucas debacle all over again. People, will you behave online? And of course, Matt, you and I both know that's a very tall order.
Yeah, that's nothing short of a miracle.
Asking people to behave online is like asking DC to get its act together and make a good movie for once.
Oh gosh, you just stay away from the comments section on some things. Just stay away from it.
Well,
wretched hive of hate and negativity.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
I mean, let's put it this way, Matt. Most of social media is like Wonder Bread. Have vitamin A, vitamin B, and your pure dose of internet cynicism. Have some Wonder Bread and be upset that no one likes their childhood as much as you did.
Love it.
All right, well, Matt, I think we've covered to one Tatooine son and back of Star Wars Rebels. So with that, we will wrap this up. Okay. It's always a great pleasure to talk with you, Matt.
Thank you, David.
I will see you again on October 14th as we discuss Droids in Distress.
I'll be here.
I will say, It is nice to know we're getting the droids episode that does not have A, a cake, or B, a spa.
If it gives us a chance to get Mr. Steven Stanton, put in Meeber Gasson. Why not?
Well, no, I will say this, since you said Steven Stanton. And Filoni, I hope you're listening. I know you're listening, so heads up. Steven Stanton, mayor of Tarkintown, now!
Yes!
Do it!
Yes, when I heard Tarkintown, just complete foreshadowing. He's coming back. We all know it.
When I heard Tarkintown, I'm like, can you tell me how to get to Tarkintown?
I had Funky Town playing in my head.
Oh, play that Tarkintown now, boy. Play that Tarkintown, all right. Oh, man, my voice is going. Okay, well, Matt, I will see you next time.
Awesome, absolutely.
And everyone out there, you all stay rebellious, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
I don't have a shot!
Chopper, do you have the coordinates?
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm Limited, Lucasfilm Animation, respectively. All rights reserved. Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company.
I am the Inquisitor. Or Boston.
Chopper, get us out of here! Aloha, Chopper, make friends.
Hera, you're good to go.
The hopes of our mission become a complete debacle. Don't you trust me.
This is the Padawan I encountered on Stygian Prime.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Have no fear. Help is on the way.
Advance and fire!
There's a lot more at stake than you realize.
What's the worst that could happen?
Red 5 Transmissions Radio is meant for entertainment and information purposes only. All rights reserved.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.